Good morning, and welcome to our 11:30 service on Sunday morning here at Stony Creek Church. You'll want to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along with our message today. We're talking about the will of God. If you're a Jesus follower, knowing and doing God's will is a huge concern in your life. But it's easier said than done, isn't it? Life regularly presents us with choices, and discerning what God wants can seem confusing. Should I buy this house? Which college should I attend? Should I date this person? Should I take this job or that one? How do I decide which career path to follow? Which car should I buy? All kinds of questions. For a Jesus follower, there is no issue more important than knowing and obeying God's will. But how do I find it? And how do I know, really, that what I'm getting is His will? Actually, it's rather simple. It's not as hard as we too often make it. Today's message is entitled, Knowing God's Will Each Day. Is that possible? To know God's will each day? Well, we're going to learn today how to navigate life by learning from a great leader who lived 3,500 years ago. His name was Moses. And if you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 9. We're going to look at Numbers 9 and 10 today. In today's story, Moses and the Israelites are in the wilderness. They're encamped in the Sinai Desert at Mount Sinai. The people have received the Ten Commandments. They've received the law. Construction on the tabernacle is finished, where God's very presence dwells. After a year at Mount Sinai, the nation is finally ready to break camp and head across the barren wilderness to the Promised Land. And in their travels, they will be guided by two main sources of guidance for making decisions. The same sources that we need to use today. And we're going to discover this morning how to tap these two sources. You have them listed there on your outline. The first source to tap each day to know God's will is supernatural guidance from God. Yes, that's available to each of us. Supernatural guidance from God. Have you ever wished that God would show you a sign? Something big, unmistakable, like a voice from heaven or something. You're trying to make a tough decision, and you're thinking, if only God would speak to me. Something so unmistakable that I couldn't miss this. Well, He has been known to do this sort of thing. One example is Numbers chapter 9. And we're going to pick up at verse 15, and I invite you to read aloud with me when we come to the yellow print. The word of the Lord, it says, on the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud, we're going to be talking about that cloud, that's a key word here, the cloud covered it. But from evening until morning, the cloud over the tabernacle looked like a pillar of fire. This was the regular pattern. At night, the cloud that covered the tabernacle had the appearance of fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the sacred tent, the people of Israel would break camp and follow it. Whenever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would set up camp. In this way, they traveled and camped at the Lord's command, wherever He told them to go. Then they remained in their camp as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle. If the cloud remained over the tabernacle for a long time, the Israelites stayed and performed their duty to the Lord. Sometimes the cloud would stay over the tabernacle for only a few days, so the people would stay for only a few days, as the Lord commanded. Then at the Lord's command, they would break camp and move on. Sometimes the cloud stayed only overnight and lifted the next morning. But day or night, when the cloud lifted, the people broke camp and moved on, whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, or a year. The people of Israel stayed in camp and did not move on. But as soon as it lifted, they broke camp and moved on. So they camped or traveled at the Lord's command, and they did whatever the Lord told them through Moses. That's the word of the Lord. Every day, God guided them. The sight of this pillar of cloud and fire was nothing short of spectacular. It would have been observable for many miles. It would light up the night sky. The pillar was the visible manifestation of God's active presence on earth. And so God himself was literally leading the nation in their travels. It was so plain and as unmistakable as a big flash of lightning. No one could say, you know, I don't think this is the way that the Lord wants us to go, because it was crystal clear to everyone, not just to Moses, not just to the leaders, but to everybody, all 2 million plus Israelites. It was easy to do, easy to follow. Pillar of cloud by day and fire by night guided the Israelites for 40 years from the day they left Egypt all the way to the promised land. Now maybe you're thinking, wouldn't it be great to have a pillar like that today? Which college should I go to? The pillar just goes over and floats over that college. Which house should I buy? The pillar just goes right over and says, buy this house, you know? Which person should I marry? Well, there's a pillar right over that person over there. I should marry this person. Just easy, follow the pillar. Too bad we don't have the pillar today. Well, let me tell you, if you're a Jesus follower, that is, you've repented of your sins, you've turned away from that, and you have embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, the one who died in your place on the cross and rose from the dead. You do have access to God's supernatural guidance, as sure as that fiery pillar. It's not as difficult as we sometimes think. You just have to tap the source. So look on your outline under this point. We're going to talk about how to find God's guidance. And the first one, probably not too much of a surprise if you've been here for a long time, you've heard me say this, study Scripture daily. Daily. The Bible, this is the most basic and certain source for knowing God's will. It trumps every other source because it's objective, it's black and white, it's God's written word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." So picture yourself, we'll update it for today's audience, with a flashlight in a dark place. You're walking along and you can see. The word of God is like that flashlight. If you read God's words daily, you will saturate your mind with God's will. This is how you prepare yourself for decisions every day that arise. The Israelites needed to follow the pillar every day, not just when they felt like it. They had to watch, get up, look out of their tent flap in the morning and say, well, the pillar's still here, so we stay. The pillar's moving. Well, folks, we have to have a daily watch too. Our daily watch is in the Word. We don't look to the sky, we don't look to the pillar, we look to the Word. The Bible gives us both precepts and principles to guide our daily lives. First, let's talk about what these are and how they differ from one another. The precepts. Precepts are God's commands that we find in Scripture. Don't have idols. Love your neighbor as yourself. Husbands, love your wives, cherish them. Wives, submit to your husbands. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are the precepts. These are the commands that are clearly written down in Scripture. They're black and white. But the Bible also gives us principles to follow. And principles are the values for godly living that, you know, all maybe big swaths of Scripture teach these things. Principles, such as taking good care of your health or managing your money wisely. But to know the precepts and principles of Scripture, you have to know the Bible. You have to be into it. You have to be saturating your mind. You need to be feeding on it daily. And so I recommend a few different things to help you do this. First, use a daily Bible reading plan. One good one is the YouVersion app. Download it and use it. There's all kinds of good plans in there. If you want to read through the entire Bible in a year, it gives you a plan. If you want to read through just the New Testament, it gives you a plan. The Old Testament, it gives you a plan. Maybe you need courage in your life. There's probably a plan on courage or building your marriage or whatever it might be. These are different plans that you can follow each day. And you get into it and you read it and you follow through. Another good thing you can do is to join a small group here at Stony Creek. There are all kinds of good small groups that you can get into, and if you're interested in checking one out, you've never been to one or it's been a little while, go onto our website, stonycreek.church, and find the area there where it says small groups, and you'll get a listing of all our different small groups. And here you get into Bible study with a group. And you mull over passages, and you talk about them, and discuss them, and you pray for one another. It's a great thing. Another source that is, I think, outstanding, I'm a little biased, and that is Detroit Bible Institute. I'm one of the teachers there, so naturally I tend to think that it's okay. Spring registration is open now. And if you're interested in registering, I'm teaching a class on systematic theology. And there are other good courses too. There's a course on counseling, and there's a course on biblical hermeneutics. You want to know what that is? You got to take the course, all right? And there's information out there on the table. Check that out and register for a course, and maybe you'll sign up for my course. Learn Scripture. Learn Scripture. Let me give you an example of how this could work in your life. Let's say you're buying a house, and you've narrowed down your search. There are two houses that you really like that would really fit your needs very well, but you're not sure which one might be God's will for you. And of course, that's very important. So how do you decide? Well, for example, if one of those two houses is outside of your price range, you're not going to be able to make the monthly payment, then that house is outside of God's will. If you buy that house, you are violating a biblical principle that says that you need to manage your money well and you shouldn't promise finances that you don't have. And so don't buy that house. Now, on the other hand, let's say that both houses are in your price range and both seem to measure up to the biblical precepts and principles. And, you know, they're near to good schools and it'd be easy for you to get to work from there, all these different things. And you weigh all these factors and the houses just come out dead even. You say, how do I decide which one is God's will? What then? Well, that brings us to the next point on how to find God's guidance. This is on your outline. Listen for God's voice. He does speak. The Bible is God's word for all time and for all people. But does God give specific instructions for us to follow for specific circumstances? Scripture doesn't tell you where to work. Let's say God wants you to work at Walmart. Is there a scripture that says, you shall work at Walmart? Well, I've read through the Bible many, many times, and I've never found that. That's not because God wants us to work in all different kinds of venues and places. And so, God might give you a specific word or instruction. Would he do that sort of thing? That's not in Scripture, but that's suited for your specific situation? Something like, take this job, or don't buy that house, or I want you to witness to that person today? Well, Bible teachers differ on this question. One perspective says, no, God doesn't speak to us specifically like this. Scripture is all we need. And they would say something like, picture a circle. And let's say that this circle is God's will. If you're in this circle, in other words, you're a Jesus follower, you're living according to the precepts, you're living according to the principles of God's word, you're in the circle. You're not only obeying the specific commands of Scripture, but you're living wisely according to the principles of God's word. Now, once you're in this circle, there are all kinds of legitimate choices that you could make. What job, what house, what spouse, what color socks to wear. Once you're in the circle, anything is good, as long as it conforms to the precepts and principles of God's word. For example, Scripture says, don't marry a non-believer. Okay, well, that's something that's excluded if I'm in God's word. Scripture speaks clearly about that. But is this all there is? Well, people who take this viewpoint says, anything that's in the circle is okay. Don't sweat it. Because if you're inside the circle, you're in God's will. God's not going to tell you specifically where to work, whether it's Walmart or some other place. He just expects you to follow the principles and precepts of his word. And then you can get any job you want, as long as you're in conformity to his word. That's one viewpoint. But other Bible teachers say, now wait a minute. What about the way God led the Israelites in the wilderness with the pillar, for example? I mean, they had God's word. God had just revealed the law to Moses, but they also had the pillar. They also had the individual day-by-day guidance. Yes, God has given us Scripture, but doesn't he promise to lead us individually? Well, it would seem so. Look, for example, at John chapter 10, verse 3. This is Jesus talking about himself and how he leads his sheep. He says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Notice here, he says that he calls them by name. It sounds so individual. It sounds so personal. This doesn't sound like a one-size-fits-all leading here. It's up close. Notice another verse, Psalm 32, verse 8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Now notice these pronouns here. Your life, you, you. In Hebrew, these pronouns are in the singular. Now, in English, we don't distinguish between, at least in the way it's spelled, a plural you, like you. You are Stony Creek Church. I'm talking to all of you. Or you, Ken Leslie, are on the staff at Stony Creek Church. You see, you can use you in either the singular or the plural. But in Hebrew, it tells you which it is. And in this case, it's in the singular. So what God is promising here, and I love this passage, is this individual guiding and leading and watching over us. So which is it? Is it just the circle, but no dot within the circle? Or is it that God speaks to us and leads us? Well, actually, it's not an either or, folks. It's a both and. Both approaches offer wisdom. You just can't take either one of them and exclude the other. There is a circle of God's will for every believer. A lifestyle of love, a lifestyle of purity, of faith, of wise living. But also, sometimes God reveals specific things he wants us to do. Sometimes he tells us where to stand in the circle. Sometimes he gives us a dot in the circle of where to stand. And he may speak to you to tell you these things. He may speak to you through your parents of what he wants you to do, or maybe a wise friend. Or maybe when I'm speaking, giving a sermon, you may hear something and you say, you know, I know that's God for me. He's speaking directly to me. I've had people come up to me after a service and say, it's like you were listening to my life and watching a video of my life. When you spoke today, it was like it was right for me. Well, I wasn't following you around or anything. I didn't have you followed by a private investigator. No, it's just the Holy Spirit speaking to you and using something that I said. God may speak to you through an inner voice, an inner prompting that you sense is from Him. The other day I was at the doctor's office for my checkup, and you know nowadays how they always ask you these questions, are you afraid of anybody in your house, and this kind of thing, you know, because they want to make sure you're not being abused or something. And they asked me, they said, do you hear voices that other people don't hear? I thought, how am I supposed to answer that? I know what they mean, but there is a sense in which the Lord leads me. You know, one day I heard about a man who was on his deathbed. And this was something that was told to a whole bunch of people. This man was about to die, and he wasn't a believer. And yet, I sensed an inner prompting, as though God was speaking to me to talk to this man, to go there to the hospital, even though it was a considerable drive, and lead that man to Christ. I just had this confidence, this is what God wants for me to do. And so I did it. And when I got there, I got to his hospital room. I had never met the man in my life, had never even heard his name. I walked in the door and I introduced myself and I shared the gospel with him. And although he had always been resistant, so I heard up to that point, he trusted in Christ as his Lord and Savior right there. And his wife was weeping at that time. And I left, and not long afterward, this man died. And so, yeah, I think he was speaking to me to do that. He speaks individually. Now, here's what I recommend that you do. First of all, read and study God's word daily to live within the circle of God's will. And then each day, ask God for his specific direction and then listen for it. All right? If you don't hear something specific, don't sweat it, don't worry. You're in the circle of God's will. If he wants to tell you to do something specific, if there's a dot he wants you to stand on, he's got your cell phone number. He's got your email address. He knows how to reach you. He's more than capable of making himself known to you if you are listening for his voice, if you're open to do whatever he tells you to do. He's not likely to tell you what color socks to wear each morning. He leaves that up to you as long as they're washed, all right? Come to my house wearing your stinky old socks. But if you're consistently listening for his voice, he's going to speak to you. You see, actually, it's pretty simple. The key is not the availability of God's will. The key is the heart. The key is the openness to God's will. You say, now, wait a minute, Randy. This sounds like it could get a little dangerous here. You're telling people to listen for God's will, and, you know, you got crazy people who say they hear something, and God is talking to them, and isn't this a little risky? Well, yeah, it can be risky, and that's why we've got the next thing here on your outline, and that is to test all things. Test them. Something purports to be from the Holy Spirit, test it. He speaks to us in many ways, but not everything that's spoken to us is from God. That's why we need to test everything. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. You know how you do that? It's by saying, well, God doesn't speak. I don't expect him to speak. And, you know, he's just not going to speak through anybody except through the Bible. And that's stifling the Holy Spirit. It says, do not scoff at prophecies. God still speaks prophetic words through individuals. Now help me on verse 21. But test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. This is testing all things. God speaks, but so does the devil. And folks, much of what is spoken to us every day through all different kinds of sources and mediums and so forth is from the pit of hell. You know, the devil can sit on your shoulder and speak into your ear. His demons are at work. And even if you put him out of the picture, you still have our corrupt human nature, our sin nature. That pulls us in certain directions. And then even if you take that off the table, you got worldly influence around from just fleshly-minded people. And so you got to test things. How do you do that? Well, you use the only 100% reliable source of guidance, and that is the Word of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. The first verse is pretty well known to Christians. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Help me. It corrects us where we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip us, his people, to do every good work. There it is. Some years ago, a famous woman, young woman, claimed to be a Christ follower, was offered lots of money to pose for some porno pictures. And so what did she do? Well, she said, I'm going to pray about it. That was her first mistake. Really and truly. She didn't need to pray about this. God has clearly spoken. But she said, I'm going to pray about it. And when she did, she said that she got this peaceful feeling. I have a peace about doing this. And so, you know, if you got a problem with it, I've got peace about it. Well, you see, what she did was deceive herself. If she had tested it by God's word, it'd be a no-brainer. You don't do this kind of thing. But deception can be so overwhelming. It's so easy to confuse what we want for what God wants. So easy. Often my ignorance of God's will is self-imposed. It's not that it isn't available to me. It's plenty available. It's that I just want to do something else, for crying out loud. The Israelites, look at them. They're a great example. They had the pillar to lead them every day. Boy, they must have really been godly, right? Have you read the book of Numbers? Have you read Deuteronomy? No, not so. They were very disobedient. They constantly disobeyed. Oh, Lord, may we humble ourselves to follow your pillar. Please open my eyes and ears and heart, and the eyes and ears and hearts of my believing brothers and sisters here today, that we may follow your will, Lord. Obedience is where we get stuck. The second source to tap each day to know God's will is natural wisdom from God. Of course, the Bible does not answer every question that we can ask. God is not going to tell you stuff that you can learn on your own. It doesn't tell you when to go to the bathroom or where. You got to figure that out yourself. God gave you a brain. He uses natural means to convey his will. Now, we see this in the way he led Israel in the wilderness. Already we've seen supernatural guidance, plenty of that. But did you know God also used natural means for leading the Israelites? Look at it. Numbers chapter 10, we pick up in verse 29. It says, one day Moses said to his brother-in-law, Hobab. You like that name, Hobab? I bet we're going to have some babies born, and we're going to have that name Hobab. Let's see. Hobab the Midianite. And this is what Moses said. We are on our way to the place the Lord promised us. Please, don't leave us, Moses pleaded. You know the places in the wilderness where we should camp. Come be our guide. If you do, we'll share with you all the blessings the Lord gives us. Now, who is this Hobab dude? Well, we know that he's Moses' brother-in-law, but he's also a Midianite. And Midianites were Bedouin nomads. They were experts at navigating the wilderness. They knew the terrain and so forth. Hobab was like a professional tour guide. You say, now, wait a minute. Who needs a pro when you've got the pillar? You've got God's GPS every day, the pillar of cloud. You know, who cares? Let Hobab lead somebody else. No. You see, Moses was not guilty of a lack of faith here. He was simply making use of the natural wisdom that God was providing through this Hobab guy. The supernatural pillar left a lot of questions unanswered about the terrain, the conditions, and even how the camp should be positioned in relation to the landscape. And so Moses was humble enough to say, even though God is leading us supernaturally, he also wants us to use these other resources that are available. Supernatural and natural together. We need them both. God expects us to use natural wisdom along with supernatural guidance. This used to be called common sense. You say, well, where's the Bible verse for that? I'm glad you asked. Ecclesiastes 10:10. Look what it says. Using a dull axe requires great strength. You really have to pound that thing hard. Using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade, you dummy. It's in the Hebrew, all right? That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. You got a dull axe? You don't need to hold a Bible study to figure out how to make it work. You don't need to pray about it. You just need to sharpen the axe, okay? Just use your brain. Work smarter, not harder. The human brain is the most marvelous machine on the planet. Make the most of this gift, this God-given gift. Tap this resource. Now, let me give you some pointers here for tapping wisdom. They're listed on your outline. First, remember that all truth is God's truth, whether it's from a Christian source or not. Which is more true, 2 plus 2 is 4 or John 3:16? No, I have news for you. They're both just as true because God is the source of all truth. He's the fountain of it, not just what's in Scripture. When a non-Christian scientist discovers a cure for a disease, that's God's truth, even if the scientist doesn't recognize it. I was at breakfast yesterday with Dan, my brother Dan Murphy over here, and he took out this medication, and he says, this is the miracle, because he's got cystic fibrosis, and they've just come out with a groundbreaking medication to help him with that. I said, praise God for that. Praise God for that. That's wonderful. Let's look at another thing. Weigh all the facts. Weigh all the facts. A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. That's Proverbs 14:15. When our house needed new gutters and gutter guards, I didn't watch for a voice from the sky or something like that. No, of course, Debbie and I, we prayed about it, but we sought natural wisdom. We looked on the web for, compared different prices, got estimates. I talked with Tom Phipps, great expert on the subject, because he has different houses and stuff, and he's had a lot of experience in this, and I'm very grateful. I ended up taking his recommendation. So weigh the facts. Use the resources that God makes available to you. Next, seek advice from mature Christians. When you're facing a decision that affects your future, look for the most mature Christians you can find and ask them, what should I do? And then listen to what they say. Listen to what they say. Now, obviously, you don't swallow anything hook, line, and sinker, but give that a lot of weight, because these are people that have experience in following the Lord. Look at what Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 says. Listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. Now, this is not just talking about parental advice, although that's the main application, but it's also giving us a biblical principle here, and that is to listen carefully to those who are older and wiser than you, who've been around the block a few more times than you have. Listen to them. God leads us in that way. Next, learn from criticism and your mistakes. This can be a great source of wisdom for us. You know, we can easily dismiss criticism, especially if it comes from an immature person or is shared in a hurtful way. Have you ever got something somebody told you and you say, oh man, that person was so rude. I'm just going to consider the source and not pay attention to anything that person said. Well, Not quite so fast. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. That there might be a kernel of truth there. Maybe it was shared in a nasty way. But that doesn't mean that there isn't something you can learn from it. You can grow. You can grow from your critics if you allow yourself to do so. Scripture says, whoever hates correction is stupid. Don't be stupid. Scripture says, don't be stupid. Learn from your critics. Next, beware of your emotions. Emotions are wonderful. They're from God, but we're fallen. And so your emotions make lousy leaders for your life. Picture your mind as a compass. When you weigh the facts, you're like Mr. Spock following Jesus. You know, you've got the Bible, you've got natural wisdom, you've got logic, and that's great. The compass points the way. But imagine that Satan comes and puts a great big magnet right next to that compass. Guess what? You're going to get a faulty reading. You're going to be misled. Emotion is that magnet. It is so deceptive. The heart is the most deceitful of all things. You say, where'd you get that? I got it from Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is the most deceitful of all things. The Disney songs will tell you, follow your heart. The songs on the radio will tell you, follow your heart. Your friends may tell you, just follow your heart. I say, don't follow your heart. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. You see, it's not all that complicated. We make it more complicated. A young couple wanted to buy a certain house, but it was too expensive for them. And so they prayed, Lord, if you want us to buy this house, number one, have the contractor accept only one half of what he's asking for the down payment. Two, have the bank approve our loan. Guess what? Both things happened. The will of God, right? So they bought the house, but soon they found themselves in debt. And now they wanted to know, how could this happen? We prayed about it. We asked for God's guidance. We made up our own test, and we passed it, and God led us, and now we're in this desperate situation, and we can't afford it. Answer, they made an unwise decision in the first place. If I had been advising this couple, I would have said, your financial situation is such that you can't afford the payments on this house. You're not going to be able to save. You're not going to be able to give. Biblical principles teach us not to promise money beyond our means. You don't need to ask God for a sign. He's already given you his answer right in the Word. Don't buy this house. But instead, they ignored biblical principles of good stewardship. They made up their own hocus-pocus test and convinced themselves it was the will of God. That happens too often. It's all wrapped up in our main idea. The one thing you need to remember if you forget everything else, it goes like this. Knowing God's will daily is a simple matter of tapping into it. It's simple. It's not as complicated as we make it. The tough part is doing it. We got to tap in and do it. Please stand with me. I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare, and yes, the musicians to come and lead us in a final song. Are you struggling with a decision? Maybe you could use some help, some guidance. Maybe you could use some prayer. We have our pastoral prayer team members waiting to pray with you down here in front if that's something you would need or like. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior. You've never made that first decision to become a Christ follower. Come on down and talk with one of the members of our pastoral prayer team. They will show you how to make that decision, how to get on the road to following Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us everything we need for life and godliness. Thank you for that. Lord, just help us to tap into it. Open our hearts and our minds. Open our eyes, open our ears, so that we may not only know, but obey the word of the Lord, the will of the Lord. Father, as we give you these gifts, I pray that it would be out of a heart of worship for you. May every penny be spent to the glory of your name. We ask in the name above every name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.